Welcome in. You are listening to the Blue Notes Podcast, a presentation of Indianapolis Colts stories and notes. I am your host, Benji Taylor. All right. I have cooled off a bit from last week. I'm not quite ready to throw my Jonathan Taylor jersey in the trash just yet, but I have cooled a bit on the situation. You know, truthfully, I'd really like to not talk about JT this week. We have plenty to discuss otherwise. The Colts played its final preseason game Thursday, and roster cuts are quickly approaching. So, here's the deal. Let's steer clear of the drama. Let's try that. As I mentioned, I want to briefly respond to Anthony Richardson's Thursday night performance. Then, I'll take 53 guesses on the Colts 2023 roster. How about that? Stay with me, Colts fans. Thank you, Shane Steichen. Yeah, thank you. I said I wanted Anthony Richardson to play 100% of the preseason snaps. Well, that didn't happen, obviously. But he did play the entire first half, even though the Eagles were not playing their starters. For some reason, there seems to be some coaching peer pressure that when one team is not playing their starters, that the other team feels compelled to return the favor. Well, that makes no sense, and I'm thankful that Shane did the smart thing. Again, I wanted AR to play four quarters, but I'm happy that he at least got to play the first half. Here's Anthony Richardson's stat line from Thursday night. 6 of 17 for 78 yards and no touchdowns. Now, take that information I just told you and cast it out of your mind, completely out of your mind, because what we saw with our eyes does not match those sad digits. Anthony Richardson was electrified. Every snap was filled with far more excitement than this franchise has seen since 2021. Obviously, AR isn't throwing with exquisite accuracy right now, but I just don't care. I don't care. I don't care if he throws 30 interceptions this year. I don't, because what he brings to this offense and this franchise far exceeds any stat numbers you can record. He is must-watch TV, and I believe this, mark my words, I believe this wholeheartedly, that the NFL will regret not giving this team any primetime games. Despite the numbers, Anthony Richardson did some really special things in his limited snaps Thursday. Once, while being pressured, he eluded the rushers, double-pumped, then got the ball out to Kylan Granson. At first, the ball was ruled a catch before it was overturned. Unfortunately, the ball hit the turf before Granson could secure it. I really hate to say this, but that was Andrew Luck type of stuff there. I don't want to heap that kind of praise on the young quarterback or make that kind of comparison. They're really not the same kind of player, and it's not fair to Richardson. Luck was a much more polished quarterback, obviously, but Anthony has an exceptional skill of evading pass rushers. The stat sheet says he was sacked once Thursday, but I don't remember it. In fact, if that mark is true, it's his only sack of the preseason, although there were plenty of good chances. His pocket awareness and escapability is a combination quite heroic. It's one we're not really used to seeing in Indy, and maybe not at all across the league. Kirk Herbstreit made a great point about AR during the broadcast Thursday night. He said that Richardson took about 98% of snaps from the shotgun in college, which is typical from college quarterbacks in this day and age. Yet Thursday night, in only his second preseason game, AR was under center, mixing cadences, and actually drew the defense offside for a drive bolstering 5-yard penalty. It was like a breath of fresh air after seeing so many young quarterbacks come into the league simply unable to take a snap under center. Certainly Anthony Richardson has his rough spots that need smoothing, but his laser arm and prime pocket awareness mixed with his alien athleticism make this guy something beautiful to watch. A couple other brief notes about the game. It was really nice to see Drew Ogletree. I feel like he's the Colts myth or something that finally came true. I had heard about him, but I don't think I've actually seen him in a Colts uniform prior to Thursday night. Ogletree was having a nice camp last year before getting hurt. Then he was out for the season. Then he has struggled this year during training camp with injuries. He wasn't in uniform when I was there a couple of weeks ago, but finally, he was there in the flesh Thursday night and had a nice 23-yard catch. Seeing him in the open field validated all of those great hopes had for him last year. Ogletree looks awesome. Leading all pass catchers Thursday was rookie tight end Will Mallory with 2 catches for 43 yards. Ogletree looks great. Will Mallory is coming on, but I'll stand by this. Kylan Granson is the tight end one until proven otherwise. Perhaps Jelani Woods will take that role, but we haven't seen him yet this preseason. Granson has been available during camp and preseason, and he has taken advantage of all the tight end injuries, and he's made good on his opportunity. Okay, let's get to it. Tuesday, NFL teams will trim their rosters from 90 to 53, and I'm going to give my guesses on who makes the initial 53-man roster for the Colts. Now, keep in mind, by the time you're hearing this, the roster cuts may have already been announced, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. And let's start with quarterbacks. No surprises here. There is a new NFL rule that makes it easier for teams to carry 3 quarterbacks. I don't fully understand the rule, but that's basically the gist of it. The Colts have 3 on the roster, and I think all 3 quarterbacks make the initial 53. That's Anthony Richardson, Gardner Minshew, and Sam Elling. Now, here's where it gets interesting. I'm just going to order these guys in skill or priority. I assume that Jonathan Taylor will still be on the team. That's quite an assumption at this point, I realize. However, I'm not sure whether he'll start the year on PUP. I wonder the same about Zach Moss, actually, who I almost forgot about amidst the JT drama. Nevertheless, I have it this way. Jonathan Taylor, Evan Hall, Zach Moss, and Deion Jackson. I had Kenyon Drake slotted ahead of Jake Funk, thinking that it would be nice to have a proven veteran if JT and or Moss aren't with the team to start the season, but Drake was released Sunday, which I thought was kind of a stand-up move to allow Drake to find another roster soon. With Drake out of the picture and questions surrounding JT and Moss, I fully expect Evan Hall and Deion Jackson not only to make the roster, but be significant players on opening day. Offensive line changed quite a bit following Thursday's game. I assumed the Colts would try to keep 9 with Danny Pinter being one of them. Unfortunately, Pinter suffered a broken ankle and is out for the season. Given the injury, I'm only keeping 8 current Colts, and I fully expect the team to sign a player after cuts are made Tuesday. So right now, I have the following. Bernard Raimann, Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, Will Fries, Braden Smith, plus reserves Blake Freeland, Arlington Hambright, and Carter O'Donnell. Truthfully, I'm shooting blind on those last two. No one in the backup group looked impressive throughout the preseason. It makes sense to keep the rookie Freeland. Beyond that, your guess is probably better than mine. However, I'm very confident about what the Colts should do at tight end. That should do. What they actually do, I don't know. There are 4 names that matter to me. Kylan Granson, Jelani Woods, Drew Ogletree, and Will Mallory. The team might keep 5 and give Mo Alie-Cox 1 more year. That's fine. I like Mo, but I just don't think he needs to be on this roster. Those 4 players offer much more athleticism and upside, but they're younger and cheaper. I said last year that Mo had peaked, and now the team is rebuilding. He doesn't really need to be here for this. I think it's time to move on, Mo. Wide receivers. Ugh. Ugh, that's what I have here. This is the one position group that I can't seem to get that jazzed about. The top 3 are obvious. After that, it's anybody's guess. Michael Pittman Jr., Alec Pierce, and Josh Downs are the only ones I'm pretty certain will make this roster. Then you have some kind of smattering of guys who have limiting success and no special teams background, or maybe some lingering hope of an upside. It's really a crapshot. My guess is that Isaiah McKenzie makes the team. His role kind of overlaps Josh Downs, but McKenzie has looked pretty good this preseason. He was an offseason signing, so there's some intentionality there. Also, he's one of the few who play special teams and also knows what to do on offense, so McKenzie is in. Now, that's 4. I originally only had 5 receivers making the team, but with the Pinter injury, I had an extra spot somewhere and stupidly thought that it would go to wideout. Would the Colts keep 6 wideouts? I'm not really sure they love any of these guys after Pittman. and maybe downs. For the fifth wideout, I'm going with Amari Rodgers. I know Juwan Winfrey is a hot name on these lists, but Winfrey has been in the league 4 years. This is actually his fifth year with very little to show. He's had his chances and has amassed only 75 total yards in his career and no touchdowns. James Washington did have a 700-yard season way back in 2019, but he and Breshad Perriman were both released Monday, so they're out. Amari Rodgers is the one player who has had some success on offense, while his special teams experience far exceeds those guys previously mentioned. Rodgers is my number five. Now, if the Colts somehow keep six receivers, I'm going with, yet again, my boy Michael Strahan. I still see Strahan as a work in progress, slow development needed. He moved from the Bahamas in high school. He attended a small D2 college. He's had some really impressive catches this preseason, but is still in need of some development. Besides, I'm just really unimpressed with the remainder of the wideout room. Now for the defense. I'm going with nine defensive linemen. My original list was heavy on the outside and weak on the inside, so I made one adjustment. We'll get to that. So I got nine. Let's see what you think. I've got Dayo Odengbo, Grover Stewart, DeForest Buckner, Quiddy Pay, Tyquan Lewis, and Samson Ebukam. Now it gets interesting. I think they keep rookie, see if I get this right, Aditamiwa Adebare. I think they keep him, although he hasn't looked very good in the preseason. If they do keep him, that leaves two more spots to make nine. I've really liked what I've seen from six-round draft pick Titus Leo. He's been a pleasant surprise out of Wagner College. To complete the nine, I originally guessed Al-Kadim Muhammad, a former Colt, now returned. But that's where I was a little heavy on the outside, so instead I'm going with defensive tackle Taven Bryan. Linebackers should be less of a mystery. I've got Shaq Leonard, Zaire Franklin, EJ Speed, and a special teams ace, Grant Stewart. That's only four, so I'll add one more, and that's JoJo Doman. The Colts could add a sixth linebacker, which really wouldn't be all that surprising, but I just can't name one more player that makes this team any better. Cornerbacks is a fun group. The Colts are going young and throwing caution to the wind, and I love it. I've seen some really good play from the young corners. I know there will be some struggles along the way, but change was needed. I'm keeping seven, but my list might be a little long here. I've got Kenny Moore, Dallas Flowers, and Daryl Baker Jr. Those are the only ones really set in stone. After that, I'm adding seventh round draft pick Jalen Jones, who has been really great this preseason. I'm guessing that the Colts keep the other two rookie corners, Juju Brents and Darius Rush. Rush had the pick six in that first preseason game, if you remember, but he's also been absolutely toasted by former Colts receivers, so I'm 50-50 on Rush. However, I did add downtown Tony Brown. He's a solid backup nickel who also played a ton of special teams for the Colts last year, and also, I just really like saying his name. Hang in there, we're almost done. I'm keeping four safeties, and I really like three of them. Julian Blackman, Nick Cross, and Rodney Thomas. I think those are the obvious ones. Trevor Denbo plays a little special team, so maybe he makes the roster too. The kicking unit is etched in stone. Kicker Matt Gay, snapper Luke Rhodes, and punter Rigoberto Sanchez are as good as gold. And that's it. My initial 53-man roster. As I mentioned, I fully expect the Colts to sign an offensive lineman. Although he's on my list, I would be surprised if Michael Strahan actually makes the team. And it goes without saying that I'm very interested to see what happens at running back. I guess we'll know Tuesday. Remember, the Colts drafted 12 players back in April. Two are, unfortunately, on injured reserve and out for the season. That is fifth-round safety Daniel Scott and seventh-round offensive tackle Jake Witt. So aside from those two, I have the other 10 draft picks making the roster. The only one I'm really concerned about is Darius Rush. Maybe that pick six earns him a spot. We'll see. All right, the truth of the matter is, it's actually a hard day for a football fan to see nearly half of the roster instantly become unemployed. While it's fun to guess the players to make it, I cannot help but feel for all those dreams crushed and announced to football fans nationwide. kind of embarrassing when you think about it. My heart goes out to them. We talked about this last year. Many of them will keep fighting and find a roster at some point throughout this year, while some will simply decide that the fight isn't worth the cost and will reluctantly choose another career path. What a sobering reality. This Tuesday, the roster will be announced and jotted in pencil, but immediately after, Chris Ballard and company will keep tinkering and maneuvering throughout the next couple of weeks. Additionally, I hope the JT saga finds a resolution soon. Real football is inching closer, good friends. I will talk to you soon. Take care and go Colts. This was a presentation of the Blue Notes Podcast. I'm Benji Taylor. Thanks for listening.